Let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Let's talk to Sage Rosenfels, former Dolphin quarterback, 12 years in the NFL, now writes for The Athletic. He's got the Locked On NFL pod from Minnesota. He does a lot of things up there in Minnesota. Sage, good morning. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sage, what's going on, man? How's my old tennis partner doing? How's everything?
I'm doing great. I wish I was playing tennis today, but the snow on the ground is halting that. So yeah. I'll have to wait till I make a trip to South Florida this winter.
Well, you guys had some interesting news to start the week here as the offensive coordinator was let go. Looks like quarterback coach going to take over now. Were you surprised by the move with just a couple of games left? I know the offense has really struggled. What'd you think?
I wasn't surprised at all. I actually thought this move probably should have happened a week or a couple weeks ago. This offense has wildly underperformed from a year ago. There's basically two differences. You could actually say three differences. I think South Florida people understand this. Tony Sperano obviously passing right before training camp. That's one major difference. And the offensive line has struggled this year. And number two, the quarterback, Kirk Cousins. And number three, the offensive coordinator in John DeFilippo replacing Pat Shurmur, who went to the New York Giants. And, of course, you can't do anything about the O-line right now. You can't do anything about the quarterback right now. He's got a 3-year guaranteed contract.
Right.
You can do something about the offensive coordinator. So the offensive coordinator goes. There was some major, I don't know if there was differences of opinion or what. It's really been pretty tight-lipped within that organization as far as, you know, what that relationship was between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo. But if you just watch the game, you see a ton of, you know, third and one, third and two, shotgun, throw the football. And this is a, you know, this type of football team, this is not the Kansas City Chiefs, all right? This is win with defense, win with running the football, you know, do what, you know, say the Seattle Seahawks are doing right now, win ugly. You know, that's how they won a lot of games last year, rely on that defense, run the ball. Last year they were top five in the league in rushing. This year they're right down near the bottom, and not only rushing yards, but rushing attempts. They just don't hand the ball off very much. So obviously, John DeFilippo's opinion of how to score the most points was to throw the football. The problem is, and you'll probably see it this Sunday when the Vikings do that. When Kirk Cousins is in the pocket, bad things seem to happen. When he's back there holding on to the football and he doesn't get it out, and he's holding on to it. You know, this isn't Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, where it seems like the longer they have the ball, you know, good things happen for the offense as they find someone down the field. He gets sacked, he sacks, and he gets fumbled, he gets pressured, he throws the ball to the other team. Bad things seem to happen. So, you know, they've got Dalvin Cook back there. Obviously, the Florida State fans down there understand a tremendous weapon. He had 9 carries for 84 yards 2 weeks ago versus the Patriots, and that was a tight ball game until the very end.
Dalvin, is he being underutilized? Like, why is he being so underutilized, Dalvin Cook? I know he's banged up a little bit this season, but this is your horse. Don't you have to just ride with your horse? I know you paid a lot of money to Kirk Cousins, but Dalvin Cook might be the best player on offense.
Yeah, no, he's extremely explosive. I mean, anytime he touches the ball, he can take it to the house. And, yeah, that's a huge issue is why they haven't given him the ball. And he's been fairly healthy mostly this year. Obviously, he tore his ACL last year somewhere around week 5 or something, but he was looking great before that, and he's looked good. This year he has his runs of zeros and ones, but he also has his runs of, you know, 50s and 60s, and a playmaker like that, you have to give him the ball. So, you know, it doesn't matter how much money they gave Kirk Cousins, $28 million, to me that's supply and demand. That's like capitalism in football. You know, supposedly he was the best free agent quarterback out there in the market. The Vikings decided to put their best foot forward, which I don't I'm not going to hate on them for that. You know, they went out and they got this supposed hot quarterback coach to be the coordinator, and they got supposedly the best quarterback on the market to be the quarterback, and they went out and paid a lot for both. And obviously, you know, he's not a $28 million quarterback, but, you know, whatever he is, if you can minimize his shortcomings, which is being in the pocket and all those types of things, and try to keep the quarterback out of trouble, hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook, is a pretty good, you know, thing to do. And not only that, they've got two tremendous wide receivers. They've got a tight end they haven't thrown the ball to nearly as much this year. So, I think the philosophy of how to win football games was very different between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo.
How's Kirk Cousins handled all the media bashing that's just kind of started about the bust, and every time you mention his name, you see 3-year, $84 million guaranteed contract. How's he handled all that, kind of for the first time getting bashed pretty good?
Well, yeah, I realize this is a guy who spent the first, 6 years of his career in the nation's capital, you know, and talk about having to deal with tough media and just that whole world inside the Beltway. So, you know, he's been there and he's been in, you know, tough situations before. You know, obviously he's got a lot of resolve. I think he'd like to have probably a little more say in what's going on. I was reading some stuff yesterday. Sounds like, you know, Kevin Stefanski's going to give him a little more say as far as, you know, the types of plays that he would like to run, that he's been successful with. I mean, this is a guy who has thrown for a lot of yards, played in a lot of football games, has won a lot of games and lost a lot of games. You got to think there's a game plan out there with the creation of a certain style of plays and the calling of those plays that can take this quarterback to be a successful quarterback on a team that has a lot of talent.
What's amazing also is that after last season, a quarterback looked like the difference to making, to having Minnesota be a Super Bowl team or not, and now is struggling again just to stay in the playoff hunt. Is that the main focus up there when it comes to sports radio or the newspapers, is the Kirk Cousins thing? Is that what's going on up there?
Well, it's a Vikings town. I mean, you know, very much, I think like a lot of NFL cities, you know, the NFL team, you know, sort of is the number one game in town. You know, it's not the Timberwolves, it's not the Twins, it's not the Minnesota Golden Gophers, it's the Vikings. There's a lot of passion up there, and, you know, they've won, they've seen a lot of success up there. They haven't seen Super Bowl championships, but they've seen a lot of playoff teams and a lot of really good football. And, you know, to go from a team that won 13 games in the regular season, went to the championship game, yeah, when you're in that spot, and you know, as we all know, everyone says, well, we're just a piece or two away, but you also don't realize, you know, there's a lot of things. The ball bounces your way a lot when you go 13-3, unless you're Tom Brady or Peyton Manning back in the day, or maybe Drew Brees, who consistently are winning 11, 12, 13 football games, it seems like, every year. For everybody else, when you win 13 games, you probably got a timely turnover time or two. You probably made a couple field goals here and there. You know, some good things happen during the season for you to get to that number. It's just really, really hard to do and then to repeat unless you have a Hall of Fame sort of level quarterback, and you know the Vikings don't have that. So now it's off to Kevin Stefanski. You know, Kevin, I've known for a long time. He's going to be now the offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach. He's been that organization from the get-go when Brad Childress came there. I think it's in 2006. So he's been there for a long time. They've kept him there through all these different head coaches, and he's worked his way up from basically the head coach's assistant to quality control to running backs coach, tight ends coach, the quarterback's coach, and now he's the offensive coordinator calling the play. So, you know, we'll see if that experience within that organization and understanding Mike Zimmer for a long, long time will help this team win more football games.
Sage, you talked about it before, Tony Sperano's guys, that offensive line, have they been that bad? Is it mostly run blocking, or is it pass protection, or is it everything?
Well, let's just start off. They don't pass protect great, so that's for dang sure, but they also are asked to pass protect a lot, and I think by the way they were scouted to come there, by the way Tony originally coached a lot of these guys, whether it's free agency or college, you know, they were looking for some maulers. And they got guys who I think want to fire off the football, and they really haven't been given that opportunity. You know, Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray, the two running backs, they are averaging both over 4 yards per carry. So it's not like they can't run the football.
Right.
They just don't run the football. They also don't run a lot of screens for whatever reason. You know, screen games, the linemen like those games too. They get to get out on the edge. They don't have to pass protect as long. They get to, you know, go beat up on some safeties and some corners sometimes, which is a lot of fun for those guys. You know, let those guys be who they are. They're a bunch of maulers, but they've been asked to pass protect 45 times a game, and it really hasn't given them a chance.
Sage, did you get to see I'm sure you did 100 times, the Miami Miracle. What did you think about that down here last week?
First thing that hit my mind was, one, that is the Jared Zabransky Boise State play. Number two, we ran that play in my first ever career start at Baltimore 2004, the end of the Dave Wansitt era. Jim Bates was the head coach. You know, Mark Trestman was basically the coordinator at the end of that season. And we ran it almost a success, actually got the ball to the curl route, flipped it to Chris Chambers, who was going to run the option with somebody before he got tackled. So, you know, I'd seen that play, you know, execute before to success, obviously, against Oklahoma with Boise State. It was not surprising. What was surprising for me was Bill Belichick having, you know, Gronkowski back there. That was surprising because, Tannehill, I just don't think he has a 75-yard arm.
Right.
So you're talking about that the probably you're going to have somebody's got to make a tackle if there is a completion. And, you know, I don't think Rob Gronkowski is that guy. So it was that's how it's supposed to be executed, just like that. Catch the ball, flip to somebody else. Hopefully everyone, comes into that curl route. Couple guys fall down. Then you run the option, and off you go and give yourself a chance. And that was perfectly executed. And honestly, if you look at the tape and you review it multiple times, look at the New England defensive linemen not completely running full speed to try to catch up to the football, because those are the guys who usually make the tackle.
Yeah, I think that the key thing is having Kenyon Drake be the last one that's got the football, who's your fastest and best player at that point for open field. Yeah, that thing worked out perfectly. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the defense. One thing's, damn, Minnesota's got a good defense. 38 sacks again this year. Third down defense is number one. They're fifth overall. It's just amazing to me that they're basically a 500 team at this point with all that talent and all those good players on defense too.
You know, Joe, I've known you for a long time, right? I got traded to the Dolphins in 2002. I played four seasons there. Does this team not remind you of about 2003 when we had, you know, Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and Junior Seau and Sam Madison?
I think you're onto something. All those wasted stars good defenses.
Over,
that's right.
Stars all over the defense, and an offensive line that struggled to run the football, even with Ricky. Struggled to pass protect. And you know, I tell you, I've known Rick Spielman for a long time, and he was part of the group that put that team together. Exceptional, I think, talent evaluator from an athlete standpoint, which works better for defense. But in a similar situation, and I was part of that, you could say the failed process of trying to get that great quarterback in Miami post Dan Marino.
You need to stop. Do not call yourself ever a failure.
Yeah, that's not
don't
nice.
Do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, whatever. I didn't end up being Dan. That's for dang sure. So I didn't even end up being Billy Joe Tolliver, for crying out loud. So anyway, but Rick has struggled to find that quarterback, you know, in Miami. Whether it was the A.J. Feely trade or when he went up to Minnesota, he's been in Minnesota now for a long time. They have yet to find a great quarterback. Obviously, you could say the 1 year with Favre, but, you know, nobody had anything to do with that other than Favre saying basically he wanted to play football. So that has been a struggle for him, the quarterback position. But everything else, he does a very good job, in particular, I think, on defense, of evaluating talent, finding skilled athletes who can play the game, finding, you know, we have a kid named Daniil Hunter up there who sort of reminds me of a thicker Jason Taylor, maybe not as quick, but, you know, extremely good defense eventually. Get good pass rush. They got Linville Joseph, who sort of plays that Tim Bowens role, on the inside. And they got some good corners up there, too. So, they draft a lot. They draft heavily on defense. You know, they have two first-round corners, and they went out and got another first-round corner this year in Mike Hughes, who tore his ACL. Early in the year, so they draft that way too. So, yeah, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of those early 2000 Miami Dolphins teams. And if they could just get in the playoffs, you know, defense can win games. But right now, with the struggles of their offense, that they may not get in the playoffs. They may be on the outside looking in.
6-6-1 on the season. Minnesota's up there. By the way, Joe's coming up early on Friday. What kind of weather is he looking at for 36 hours before game time?
Bring your parka, bring some gloves, and bring a hat and a scarf. Don't forget about the scarf.
Scarf's important
in the cold weather.
Yep.
You're telling me it's going to be pretty cold and nasty outside, aren't you? Is that what you're telling me?
It won't be great. I tell you, it's not, actually, today it's probably going to be over the freezing mark, which is nice. And I'm not sure, have you been to the new stadium?
I have.
Stadium? It is
beautiful.
It is an absolutely beautiful stadium. And for Dolphins fans who are going to watch the game, and it might almost, if it's sunny outside, half the roof is glass, and so you might actually almost seem like you're looking at an outdoor game. It is a beautiful, and I think probably the coolest stadium that I've been. Of course, I haven't been in the new stadium down there in South Florida, but this is an exceptional dome. If they're going to build domes like this, it's not a bad way to go.
It's a nice
beautiful
one.
Stadium right downtown. obviously just held the Super Bowl, and I'm really lucky that I get to go there multiple times a year and watch the Vikings play.
Follow him on Twitter, at Sage Rosenfels, 18, former NFL quarterback.
Sage Rosenfels,
Dolphin
man.
Quarterback, writes for the Good Athletic, guy. Minnesota now, Locked On NFL Podcast. You're doing a lot, Sage. Thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Sage.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that was Sage Rosenfels. You got all that weather stuff or what? I figured to ask because you weren't coming.
Man, don't worry. I ain't changing the way I was going to dress anyway.
You going to go with the Iron Eagle leather jacket that he sent me?
You know what? I'm putting that thing away. I'm not wearing it
Are
anymore.
Are you going to be embarrassed to
I'm
wear it
I'm not wearing
now?
It anymore. You guys, they got ripped.
Like, Ian's going to be there looking for you on Sunday with that leather jacket.
I'm going to have to wear I don't even have another jacket. It's terrible.
Are you going to be in Dolphins garb?
Yeah,
I'll just going to be in the free Dolphins garb. Stuff.